we were too young to know what was going on. 11 years old when that was happening, I remember my mom making posters protesting, we want to go to West Hall. I want my child to go to West Hall. Don't split the lineup. Don't split the lineup. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she still has the poster. Nowadays, my mom thinks it's better that we did go to Chesapeake because Chesapeake ultimately was a better school during the time I were in high school.
Yeah, you're right.
Not saying that Chesapeake's better than West Hall, but at the time, my mom is comfortable with the decision of the county or whoever made that decision.
It was just so far from us.
Yes. That's the only downfall, that it was so far for us to drive.
Welcome to the 13th episode of the Mr. Atlanta podcast. I have a really special episode for you guys today. I dive deep with my oldest childhood best friend, Vance Lane Vassar. Over 25 years of friendship, we talk about some early trials and tribulations, fun things that we did to get through it, and a little bit of everything in between. Enjoy.
All right, guys. Welcome to the 13th episode of the Mr. Atlanta podcast. David Orland Brown here with my best friend from 6 years old, Vance Lane Vassar. Say hey to the audience, Lane.
Hey, everybody. By the way, we call each other the Red Light, Green Light Brothers. That means it's like a game. And you would get on one side of the classroom, other half of the classroom would get on the other side. And when you say red light, you would stop. And when you say green light, you would go. That's how far him and I go together.
Literally kindergarten.
Literally kindergarten.
At McEver Elementary School.
I learned how to open a locker with him telling me my combination, which is wow.
Really?
I can't even remember that.
That's a nice new little
thing. The thing is,
okay,
is that you remembered like three other girls. And I think that's how him and I bonded really well, because we had a couple of girls that him and I were interested in. That's the best way to make a friendship, especially when you're in the elementary school days.
Shoot, I remember you coaching me up for my first girlfriend, Courtney, in fifth grade.
Courtney, do I know her last name?
DeWitt.
Courtney DeWitt. Okay, so we actually dropped the name, Courtney. Hey.
And you said you...
Courtney DeWitt.
The
I remember
thing you need
her.
To focus on, David, is to make the girl laugh. And this is me, fifth grade, pipsqueak, no skills of social. You can help school me up in the game, really.
Well, listen, you learn well.
Thanks, sir.
You know, Courtney DeWitt, I'm sure you're... Having a wonderful life.
It's got some kids.
Yes.
Good lady.
But every young boy has his first experience.
Of course.
We all go through it. You made it through.
Hell yeah. So, we met growing up at McEver.
Yep. Off what road?
Off of Browns Bridge Road. Yeah.
Okay.
And why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself growing up? Where were you born?
Okay, so I was born in Marietta, and it was for 3 months. And then my mom and my dad moved to Gainesville, strictly because my mom was a manager for Red Lobster. And so Jimmy Carter Boulevard, the one off Jimmy Carter, she managed that one, and that's what brought us from Marietta to Gainesville. I was, like I said, 3 months. Moved here, and then my brother, 2 years later, was born here in Gainesville. Pretty much born and raised here in Gainesville. As far as getting to where you and I met each other, moving here, you and I met obviously in McEver Elementary School, which was 5 minutes from my house and 7 minutes from yours, because you were like 2 minutes from mine. So that's what kind of brought me into Gainesville.
What was your first sports?
First sports, baseball, football, basketball. You know, not toot my own horn, but I was one of those kids that excelled exceptionally with sports.
Well, you're a larger than normal human.
As far as...
You best with these Greek genetics from the gods of Miss Jan and Mr. Vance.
I was given Greek genetics. I'll acknowledge that, but it took me time to realize that. So as a child, you don't realize that. You're just naturally good at something. So I wasn't naturally good at it. So as far as being like elementary school level, like you and I going to McEver Elementary, I didn't know what, you know, ability that I had. My parents did, obviously. But of course, I found out later in my
days
to get to high school. Well, my mom used to always tell me that when she would go to games, And it's kind of a funny story. She would say, you know, you would come up to the plate and it'd be a couple of minutes and all of a sudden somebody would yell your name. And I have no idea who they are yelling your name. That tells me that my son has been doing something in the past that a gentleman at a ballpark, a local ballpark, is yelling my son's name and he doesn't know that I'm the mother of the child that he's yelling for and cheering. She knew that I had an ability. Mm-hmm. Just based off that. So it was pretty cool to...
That was like early baseball.
It was almost like a fan. That was when we had the girls on our team as mm-hmm. well. It was T-ball. It was like...
Lauren Sims?
Yeah, we had Lauren. We had Allie. We had a bunch of different girls that were on our team. But for me, for my mom to know that I was one of those children playing sports that excel was somebody else cheering me on. Because mm-hmm. she knew then, I'm not his only fan.
So what was your first sport that
baseball.
You were truly passionate about?
Baseball. Baseball was definitely the first sport.
Why?
And I wish it would have been a sport that I stayed with. Now that I think about going back to my like middle school days, high school days, I would definitely would have stuck with baseball. Personal reasons is why I didn't stick with baseball in high school.
Our coach?
Yes, the coach, absolutely.
We don't have to name drop that guy, but I will interrupt and say that one of my early memories of you and your mom was Coach Page.
Randy Page.
And even though I was in the same team and league as y'all, I wasn't as good.
Yeah.
And so he had older kids coming down and playing just because he wanted to win. He didn't actually care about the kids getting to go out there and have fun.
Well, he did. He did. And you have that. Where his son was a part of the team, then you have where he's the head coach of the team. So you have your favoritisms, and you have that, and you have your guesses. You have
yeah, you had kids that were like a year older coming down to play fourth grade.
My mom
made a big scene.
And being an adult, you got to understand where he was coming from. But as a child, then of course we didn't understand. It was like, why aren't you playing the best children?
I had no idea what was going on.
And neither did I. Neither did I. But as we get older, we started to realize it with him. But he was a fantastic elementary school recreation coach.
That was good to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you got into football.
Mm-hmm. Football is kind of what like rocketed me. So it was mm-hmm. more of like eighth grade. Eighth grade is when I really kind of excelled and realized that I was me realizing that I was better than a lot of kids.
You started playing football in sixth grade, right?
I played it in sixth grade for West Hall Junior Spartans. Well, fifth grade and sixth grade. And that's when I realized I was a good running back.
Yeah, it was summer league, right? Now,
our West Hall Junior Spartans team, we went 6-0. We went to play six games. So we went 6-0. And then my second year with them, we went 6-1. We lost to one team, and it was a new school called Fly Ranch.
Mm.
And at this time, when I was there, so it was Chesity. Chesity and Fly Ranch were being two new schools. Obviously, you know that because we went through it together. But
yeah, the only team that we lost
to was the Fly Ranch team, the new team. So that's my West Georgia. That's where I went to college, by the way. My West Hall Junior Spartans, before I went to Chesity, we lost one game my second year. And that was my last year with Junior Spartans because this is when Chesty High School and Fly Ranch High School was not around.
Right.
It had been created. And I remember my mom actually making a poster with your picture, my picture, Lindsay Elliott, Courtney, because she lived in the same neighborhood as me. We had a sign that we were actually protesting for you and I,
because
we were in the same district.
To go to West Hall.
I mean, you lived
too. We were heartbroken to not get to go to West Hall.
You and I were supposed to go there.
This is something I've never really talked about on my podcast. I was gerrymandered.
We were supposed to go to West Hall.
We were gerrymandered.
Yeah.
Technically, lines were drawn above our control through political interest in our educational district and Hall County. And just because we lived on one side of the street, we had to go to this new school that was 25 minutes from where we lived.
7 minutes to West Hall, 10 minutes to Gainesville High School, and then it was like anywhere
11 to Johnson.
Johnson was further. I remember my mom actually doing it. She was like, it's 10 minutes to West Hall, or 7 minutes to West Hall is 10 minutes to Gainesville. So Gainesville and West Hall, from where we lived,
were the closest.
Was a little bit closer.
I mean,
it was probably, you're looking at maybe 15 to 13 minutes. So we're a little bit closer. But then Chesapeake was, of course, across the river. We had to go across the river. That was 22 minutes. But based off the jurisdiction line that they made for Flyer Branch, the new school, and Chesapeake, the new school, I think it was because of the McEver Road. If you lived on Brownsbridge Road on the right side of McEver Road, you went to Chesapeake.
Right.
Remember? Because
of course.
Danny was there.
I understand
too.
That's yeah. why. I'm not saying I like it.
Yeah, well, I mean,
saying
it is what it is because we experienced it. We went through it.
I'm glad we did it.
Yeah.
But
it's a crazy story, though, because
I kind of wish we would have gone.
It's a story that you and I, we were too young to know what was going on. 11 years old when that was happening. I remember my mom making posters protesting, we want to go to West Hall. I want my child to go to West Hall. Don't split the lineup. Don't split the lineup. Mm-hmm. And my mom still has the poster. Nowadays, my mom thinks it's better that we did go to Chesapeake because Chesapeake ultimately was a better school during the time
that
I were in high school.
Yeah, you're right.
Not saying that Chesapeake's better than West Hall, but at the time, my mom is comfortable with the decision of the county or whoever made that decision.
It was just so far from our house.
That's the only downfall, is that it was so far for us to drive. We definitely were the furthest part.
It was like an hour and a half to get home from the bus.
Because there was a lot of people that lived in that area. But then you had people like you and I that had to cross over the river. But we had to go down opposite of the school just to get to that bridge to go towards the school.
Right.
That's what made it so far.
So far. Everything happens for a reason. So it's good to acknowledge that. It's also good to acknowledge your mom's efforts in trying to get us.
Yeah. She tried, she fought, but she lost.
You know, Ben Marin, Lance Smallwood, Jay Green, a lot of those guys were all our best friends going to McEver. And then we got split, and it was hard enough for me to make friends because I was put on fucking Adderall and Ritalin in kindergarten and first grade. And so the few that I had, I wanted to maintain. And so getting shot up to Chesapeake, where it was really just me and you, and we never had classes together.
Yeah, that's because you were in the smart classes and I was in the dumb ones.
I mean,
don't smile. It's true.
I was held back.
Yo, I'm not afraid to admit that. Like, I was in special classes. I was just, you know, I went to work with my dad every summer. And my dad's a tree man on his own tree company. And there was a summer where I was bitten with a lot of ticks. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the disease called Lyme disease. It enables you to learn at a quicker rate. So what we've been able to find out with my son is him learning. He can learn and absorb so much at one time. But with me having that Lyme disease, it took me a lot longer to learn something. So it was like you said, hey, ketchup is good with macaroni and cheese. You could just tell me that, but I would be like, I wouldn't understand the concepts of, I know what ketchup tastes like, and I know what macaroni and cheese tastes like, but putting them together, I don't. Mm. Me having Lyme disease, I had to actually go and experience that. But people who didn't have Lyme disease, they could, if I just came to you and said, hey, mac and cheese with ketchup is pretty good, you could imagine what ketchup tastes, mac and cheese, put them together, and you could almost imagine what that would taste like. Me, I couldn't. Having that disease. So me being now 30, I think I've overcome the disease, obviously, because I've been able to accept it. And so now when I'm trying to learn new things, I try to literally point in on what people are saying and stuff. But back then as a kid, I couldn't do that. So I was in more special classes. So that's probably why you never really saw me.
Word. Well,
I mean, that's the truth.
Talk, bro,
that's
sure.
The truth. Because I was in classes where there was 8 or 9 kids. And, like, I was never embarrassed. Never one of those guys. You know, I was more of the jock student. But, yes, I was kind of placed as a jock because I really wasn't that smart. But as far as, like, bullying and stuff like that, like, I was the jock who took up for the kids being bullied. I can remember.
I'm a witness of that.
Yeah.
My own testimony of getting bullied, having Lane stand up for me.
Yeah, so I just kind of threw it in as a side note. But as far as, like, obtaining information fast, I didn't have that ability. But when it came to sports, I excelled. So it was one of those, you know, kind of like I was an athlete that wasn't really smart, So yes, I was in special classes and I needed more attention, you know, drawn towards me than you did because it just came natural to you.
Have we talked about Lyme disease before?
No, we haven't talked about Lyme disease, and I've never really talked about Lyme disease. I just kind of did some research. I kind of know it, and still to this day, to be honest with you, I don't even think I had Lyme disease because I really don't remember those days of me struggling in high school and middle school and stuff like that. But me being and you being here, you know, having conversations with your parents when they tell you things that you went through.
Right.
That it's like, I don't really remember going through those things, but my mom and dad remember me going through it. And so it kind of wakes me up. Like, okay, so now I need to believe my mom and dad said that I went through this problem that I just really don't. I mean, I was 12 years old. Like, I don't remember everything I did at a young age. But some things my parents do remember that I don't remember. So that when they tell me, it kind of like, okay, I can kind of see where I wouldn't have absorbed that or understood that. But now it's completely like, as soon as you were to tell me that, I could tell you the exact answer. I could overcome something. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
That's why you
I heard about it from my mom.
And I'm sure my mom probably told you about it.
Told my mom, and so she's like told me when I was younger, and you know that was that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I didn't think that.
Saw me as a dumbass.
No, of course
you not. Never saw me as a smartass or somebody who thought they were.
Saw you as my best friend and wingman that was going out and helping me.
Exactly.
Excel in the boxer.
You saw me as one of those guys. Is I've known him for a long time. So whether now 10 years, if we don't relate on something, if anything were to happen between him and I, or if something happened to me or if something happened to him, if you and I were to look at each other, we would know there's a place for you in my history. You're a friend of mine. You know what I mean? Of course, we don't have that because, hell, we've been friends.
Right.
We've never had an apart. We've never been apart. Of course, we've been physically apart, but as far as like connections, mm-hmm. I mean, there was a time where I probably didn't see you for 5 years, but there was a random text, there was a random.
Yeah, we never really had like
there's no breakage, there's nothing. Uh-huh. It's always like if we kind of ventured off, sometime during the road, we would reconnect.
Right.
You would have liked the picture that I liked. Something would have always brought us back together for the past. I'm 30 and you're pushing 31. I mean,
it's crazy.
I think I'm actually going to end up dying with you, bro. Like, we're going to be.
So. I hope so.
What you need? Oh. But, yeah, as far as that, that's kind of where we are with our parents knowing that I was an athlete. Of course, you know, she lost with the chastity thing. I'm sure your mom probably falls somewhere in that debate, you know, as far as at least following my mom or something to where they're like joining together and coming together.
It was interesting going to Chastity as it was. It's in its first years of inception.
Mm-hmm.
We were the
second
first.
Class. We were the second class to fully go through and graduate.
Right.
2006 was the first class.
Right. And so for that to happen to us is kind of a unique experience.
It is.
We got to pave the way in a lot of manners.
Yeah.
They're
actually what?
Wiley! That's who I ran into.
I want to say it's like 13 years now for Chesty.
I ran into Coach Wiley on Friday night.
Really?
At the square in downtown. I went in Gainesville. I told you.
Okay. Well, yes,
sister,
that's about to happen to you.
And I could not remember his name. Damn it, Coach Wiley. I'm sorry. He had his two daughters and his wife, and we chatted it up, and he, you know, said how great I looked, and
that's pretty cool.
Followed me online, and
to run into a teacher who you looked at as a teacher, and they looked at you as a student.
He was our cross country mentor.
And then when you run into him, like, 15 years later, it's like, yo, I'm a grown ass man now.
Right.
Like, you don't look at me as a student anymore. Yeah. I think I did that with our. Me and Chase did that with our art teacher. Who was our art teacher in high school?
Not Miss Chesewood.
No, it was the gentleman.
Oh, Coach Hughes.
Hughes, that's it, Coach Hughes. That's
he still likes all my stuff.
It was me, him, and Chase, and we connected like it was like we just were late for class, dude.
Nice.
As soon as we saw him, it was like, oh my god,
it
was
awesome.
I can't remember the bar. Obviously, it's been 2 or 3. I want to say maybe even
the bar where.
Well, it wasn't really a bar. It was a higher end restaurant. It was a social place where people go together and somewhere. No, it was somewhere in Atlanta. I went with Chase down to a networking, you know, not necessarily specifically for networking, but something to where people gathered and we just carried on conversations and got to know each other and stuff like that. And of course, when we walked in, it was almost like Chase saw me immediately. And it was pretty cool just kind of reconnecting with somebody that, you know, that you remember as a kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you had to say yes, sir, no, sir, thank you and please and stuff like that, too. And whereas 15 years now, you meet each other in real life, and it's like all he wanted to know, Coach Hughes, was what was Chase and I doing? And so mm-hmm. we were like, this is what we're doing now. Because, of course, he looked at us. We knew he looked at us as we're men, you know.
Right.
I mean, I was probably 27 at the time. But as far as teachers, that's probably the only one that I've met since, and I haven't seen any of our other teachers. And as far as I know, I don't even know who the principal is anymore.
It was Bill Thompson.
Yeah, it was Thompson when we were there.
And then Dr. Sapp.
But Sapp was like administrator or something.
Yeah, no, she became principal.
Okay, so she's a principal. Okay.
But I don't know if she's still a principal. I know Kirsten just became a doctor.
Wow. That's awesome.
She went to Brown University.
That's awesome.
So we started getting closer around wrestling. Me, you, and Danny.
Around like you talking about when we were in high school?
Like 15. Because we were, our parents were driving us around and we were doing all that younger. But once we could start driving and we were doing wrestling and in the sports and then partying at your place, Danny's place, my place.
Yeah, that was more towards like our junior and our senior year. That's when we became the top dogs of school.
Yeah.
Everybody looked up to us. So, yeah, we had those because Danny's was obviously a spot to go to. My house was obviously a spot to go to. I do only think we only had like maybe one or two at yours. But I do know anything that was at Danny's in my house, you were always like second commander. No, you were always
making the MySpace post.
Was always the vice president. Yeah, he always took the initiative for the social life
recruiting
to expand in our market.
Gotta get it out there. I have these hot pieces of asses that I needed to flaunt. Not include myself, and I just needed to get it done. And
you did.
And we did. We had a lot of good times. A lot of people came over and, you know, exchange genuine conversation with meaningful people that
we loved.
That we love.
Still do. I mean, of course, a lot of them nowadays, which that's what makes our relationship so special. And that's why we call each other our red light, green light brothers. You know, there is no other red light, green light brother. I don't have other one except for my brother. But, you know, that's family.
Right.
But as far as like outside of family, you're the only one that goes back the furthest.
Hell
so that's
yeah.
why we call each other Red Light, Green Light Bros. Red Light. Ah! Anyway, that's just a little thing that's in between him and I. You know, it's just
so what do you like to do?
Jokes. What do I like to do? Let's see. I guess the number one thing that I like to do, obviously, is my career because that's the set foundation.
It's not obvious.
Well, no, it's not obvious, but to me it's obvious because I've taken it personal. It is my career. I'm no longer working as an employee. I'm now in my career. And my career is taking off, and it's been able to provide me with, you know, accommodations that I need, and it's been able to provide for my family. But as far as my work, you know, it's just as much as I'm committed to my work, I'm also committed to things that I like doing as far as outside of work, which is bodybuilding, playing sports. I love to go out by myself and just mingle with people. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's going to watch a sports game on Saturday or Thursday, or, you know, whether it's a client that I'm cleaning their homes. I just love being around people. But I would say my favorite thing to do, obviously, outside of work, because right now my primary is towards my work, because obviously I'm building a location, would be definitely working out. Working out is something that I see myself taking to the next level. I've made that commitment. It's going to take a long time. I know what it takes to do it. So right now it's just more of work. And then my hobby is working out until I can maybe one day become my sole income. Of course, that's the goal, right? We all have goals.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot for the star. If you miss, heck, at least hang on to one of them. You grab them, you're going on your way back down.
There you go. So, professional bodybuilder.
Yep.
Definitely doing all the strides to get there. Here's a question that I get from people a lot. As your best friend, does Lane take steroids?
You got it.
So, did you consistently take steroids?
I have never taken a steroid before. I've always followed the rules of all the bodybuilders based off foods. Once you can find your macros, and macros are your fats, your carbs, and your proteins, once you can find out what your body understands and digests and passes through your system, you can really base your workout around it, and then it's just more of food. So that phrase, of course, me being as a child from, I'd say, 19 up to 25, when people would tell me, you are what you eat. 95% of how you look is what you eat. Me, it passed through one ear and went out the other. I was a young buck, wanted to lift heavy and get big as heck. I thought that was the way to do it.
What you used to eat?
But now, being older, I've completely changed. Obviously, now I count macros. So I actually got a weight scale. I count my egg whites. I count my grams. Like, I've taken it to the next level of seriousness. And there's a lot of people that they look at when they want to eat, they don't have enough time to measure their foods. But if you can measure your foods and plan it throughout your day, plus your workouts, you're going to get 10 times more of the response that you're trying to work towards, based off whether if it's losing, you know, just fat, or if it's building muscle, or if it's just getting in shape, or if it's just being able to get off the couch and just run a little bit. It doesn't matter what you want to do. It really based off what you eat. And obviously we know that plant-based foods are better than animal foods, obviously, because
it's not
animals
obviously
that we eat.
Yeah, stop saying obviously.
You're right. So back to the plant-based, back to the meat.
You haven't been on a plant-based diet.
I've never been on one. Never been on one.
Or ever.
Never been on one.
But you believe
it. And I never will be on one. But I will add it into my workout. I will. I do believe in enough of it being healthy that I do need to lean a little bit more towards it. Obviously, because if you're eating a bag of M&M's or if you eat an apple, it's obvious. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's obvious because you can look this up.
It's three times obvious.
The nutrition for a banana is 27 carbs. The nutrition for a bag of M&M's is 38 carbs. Your body only understands one, banana or M&M's. Bananas, your body does not understand M&M's. So what does it do? It stores it as fat. So if you're noticing stuff that's around your stomach or on your hips, it's because you're eating foods that's processed from the body that it does not understand.
So
that's just a side note.
Let's
it's not facts, not obvious. That's just my own opinion.
Let's get on to who is your biggest mentor and how have they helped give you guidance throughout your life, and how have you applied it?
I would say my dad. I mean, I know everybody says a family member, obviously. But my dad, to me, has been a huge part of my life. I think he's gone to no longer being just a father figure to me. He's more of an advisor. A best friend, of course, a father. He's always be the father, but to me, he's more than a father to me. It's kind of weird. So it's a weird feeling. It's been the past 3 years that I've been able to develop this with him. And my mom is a little bit jealous of it, of course, but My dad ultimately would be my hero, my go-to. Anytime I needed to talk to somebody, I'd call him.
And he's got that FaceTime.
He's got the FaceTime, and he's so thankful for that. And he's so thankful that I showed him that because he's always calling me and I'm always calling him.
I love it.
Yep.
Yeah, how funny was that? We had a seven-way conversation last night. Myself, Lane, and John, his buddy up here in Louisville, along with That's Mrs. Jan, Mr. Vance, my mom, and John's mom. So we all decided to FaceTime our moms.
All the kids FaceTime their parents.
And just gave them some love.
Yeah, you got to.
We were able to put the video cameras all
together,
centered, so kind of in a circle, so all the moms could see each other with us.
Yep.
And I think they got a real special kick out of it. I think it was.
You know, and to think about it, I think that was your idea to do that too.
Well, you were already on the phone with your mom.
Yeah, I was.
And on FaceTime, and so I decided to FaceTime my mom, and I asked John to take a picture of us FaceTiming our moms, and he, after that, got his mom, and it just naturally, organically happened that way.
So I know this is your podcast, David. I've got one question for you.
Ask me away, Brad. Brad.
And of course, there's probably a billion questions that I could ask you. But if you could give me one answer of why I am special to you, what would that answer be? Why are you and I still friends at 30 years old? And we've known each other since elementary school. And of course, that was what, 4 years old? So we're looking at a 26-year-old relationship. You know, that's crazy for someone who's 30 and 31-year-old to say they have. Because I don't know anybody else that goes that far with our relationship to you. So you and I are really the only ones in that young boat, man.
It's like 80% of our lives.
Why are we still friends to this day?
I think we've answered that question pretty thoroughly throughout our love and conversation in the first half of this podcast.
Absolutely.
And to piggyback on it, it's trust. It's
we've gone through our trials and tribulations.
It's rapport.
Yeah.
Well, you and I haven't really. We fight, but it's real quick.
It has to do with
we usually just get in verbal conversation and confrontations immediately, yeah. And we just duke it out and say our piece, our harshness, and then it's just done. And then if we need to comfort each other a little bit after, to be like, all right, I didn't mean to hurt you with saying this or that. I can remember a few arguments like that throughout our maybe drinking times and whatnot, but that's really about it. We haven't had any fuck shit in our relationship. It's been pretty tried and true. And, you know, the trust is definitely, it's never been a time I have not been able to reach you on phone or text or social. And, well,
so that's what I
you think. Had a girlfriend named Peyton for a little while.
So that's what I think it is that we always have one of those relationships that where no matter what, you and I could go, because we've done it before, 2 or 3 years, we've never heard from each other. But it was like when I texted you, you picked right back up from the last time we spoke. And then we could go for a week or two of talking, and then boom, another year go by. And I say anything. Then you and I could pick right back up. Whether like our parents brought each other back together or something. If you weren't in my parents, I ran at your parents.
Because I might go see your parents and not be seeing you for a year.
You are the friend that where it was like you've always been a friend. Even when you weren't a friend. Even when you weren't there during my down moments. Or even when you weren't there during my up moments. Because obviously you've had up moments and down moments without me, and so have I. But we've always had one of those connections to where when one of us sends each other a text message, we pick up from the last damn time that we talked, you know, because obviously we've had those separations, but, you know, specifically with the Peyton.
You'll be my best man, bro. For sure.
I'll get married for another 10 or 20 years.
Same way with years.
We're not
going to be 70 or 80 before I get married.
Look, bro. We are bucket list kicking for the rest of our lives.
Unless I can have multiple marriages.
High five.
Crazy says.
Anyway.
I don't know. I kind of believe in polyamory. I'll just put that out there.
Yeah.
I've been listening to Aubrey Marcus and Whitney Love a lot lately, and they believe in polyamory. It's, I don't know. I can see myself having multiple lovers.
And there's nothing wrong with that, man, because that's the first thing to something, is seeing it. You got to see it to believe it. I mean, that's what you want.
I don't necessarily need one woman. I can openly entertain more than that.
Hey.
I've done it in the past. Sometimes openly, sometimes not so much.
Do it to you, man. some of us men are one man women, and some of them are multiple women, you know? And some of us don't like women at all, which... All of them are equal at the same. It's the same person.
True.
But.
So, let's talk about your little brother.
What about my little brother?
Who's a few inches taller than me. Several inches taller than me.
We don't need to talk about him too long now.
I know. He'd love that.
He would.
So, I whooped his ass. He was
one time
5 or 6. No, he might have been like 7 or 8. You think he was about 8?
And I was a little boy.
I was about 11. And that's the last time I ever whooped Chase's ass. It was
the first and the last.
That was about it right there. He bucked up on me, but no, I guess Chase and I butted heads a lot more often than you and I. Chase and I have butted heads. We're similar in a lot of ways. You and I are too.
Well, see, that's the thing though. Like, you and Chase do not have the relationship that we have.
Mm-mm.
Chase is one of those guys that you are friends with him because of me. Same way with like your family. My family is friends with you because you're friends with me, your family. You and I have a special relationship.
I agree, but I also disagree.
The main,
it's not just because of you. You've been out of the picture and I've been friends with Chase.
You're right. But I will say, because of you and I is the reason why your mom and my mom are friends, and why your dad and my dad are friends is because of you and I. You and I have always kept connection. And say,
yeah, we definitely started it, for sure. For sure.
You know, you and Chase.
I was chasing Caleb.
You and our Chase aren't best friends like you and I are, but Chase will always have your back. If something were to happen devastatingly, or if it was you're in trouble, you know Chase would be there. Obviously, I would be there. You know, I would. Chase, you have that relationship, but as far as friends, you know what I mean? Like, we've had I think majority of our fights that you and I have had is because of him, because Chase is just one of those.
Yeah.
One of those guys. He's a tough guy.
He's a tough guy.
But you know, he's grown as an adult. My brother has grown up. I mean, he's 28 years old now. It's crazy to think my younger brother's 28, you know. I mean, he knows what he wants. I mean, he's a grown man now, just like I am. You know, and as far as me seeing stuff like that, you know, because there's friends that he's best friends with that I get along with, but those friends, I'm not best friends with his friends, you know, but they respect me because I'm his brother, and I respect them because they're friends with my brother, you know, kind of thing like that. So you're in with the family. Like, Chase has got your back. If, you know, with you being down in Georgia, of course, me being up here in Kentucky, if anything were to go down, obviously, you know, I got our back because I've got your back before. Anything you ask me for, I got you. So you already know that. But as far as like venturing out from me and our relationship, Mom, Dad, Chase, we got you.
Hell yeah.
So you don't have to worry about that.
So what do you want to be when you grow up?
What do I want to be when I grow up? So if you'd have asked me that 15 years ago, I would have said Superman.
Why?
Now that you're asking me that 15 years
from now, why'd you want to be Superman?
It's the same answer. It's Superman. Obviously, because I just, personally, Superman figure to me is more of, an inspiration, obviously, because it's the Man of Steel. I don't know why I like that word, but I like that word because I haven't proven anything on that word.
There we go.
Well, I don't know why I keep saying it, but I do. To you folks, it's not, but to me, it is. It's more of a motivation. So Superman to me is a motivation. There's times where we all get down, and sometimes I have to just kind of look at that figure and put myself in that figure, and that's kind of what excelled me through my career.
You also very much look like Clark Kent.
I actually went towards that. I changed, and it's something that I believed in heavily because I knew Superman inspired me. So I was like, well, why not try to look like him?
Mm-hmm.
So I cut my hair. It was long, made it obviously what it is now. That's obvious, is that I've cut my hair, combed my hair just like Superman. People call me Superman, and it lets me know that I'm doing the right thing. But to me, Superman is an inspiration because of my career, because it's made my career, it's made me good at what I do for my career, because I look towards that inspiration of Superman.
Absolutely.
So that's where the Superman kind of falls as far as an inspiration thing. But I never really grew up as a Superman person. I was more of Hulk. I always liked Hulk. I was a bodybuilder, blah, 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 wrestling, big guy. I love Hulk. But as I became a man, and the career that I landed in now, leading to where it led me now, people call me Superman. And I really just kind of took that in. So that's kind of where the whole Superman...
That was yours.
...falls in. Oof. And that's some good stuff right there. But Superman is something that will that I have in the past 2 years just wrapped around, and I believe it's a huge part of my success, and it will always be a part of my life.
I like that.
It's everywhere.
Green Lantern.
It's everywhere in my heart. It's everywhere in my house. I'm a huge believer in surrounding yourself with something, you'll become that something.
Hell yeah.
And you said as far as the Green Lantern.
That was always my
I've seen thing. The movie.
How about The Flash?
The Flash, when I was a little kid in my sports days, I was really fast. My mom and dad loved calling me Lightning, so I liked Flash then, but as
you look like him a little bit too, yeah.
Flash, sweet, you can run fast. So, it's been a while since I've been on camera, but I do remember how to, and you're right, you're totally right. When you're saying it, I know it. I'm like, it's retakes and retakes. I know how exactly, so. And that's where I'm at. Like I said, I used to do reps, I used to stand here right here, shoot a promo. 3, 2, 1. John Cena. Son of a bitch. They gave me a chance. I'm going to see you January the 1st. You have what I want, and I'm going to take it. You and you, nobody's going to stop me. It's promos that I'm good at. So I know that. So when you say obvious and you want to slap me and stuff like that, I got it, bro.
Yeah, because...
But I know you can edit the stuff.
Over time, I've gotten comfortable with punching you and Chase. Because y'all are such large humans, and
well, there's some people who just can't do.
And I guess I hit too hard sometimes, and it's just been a protuberant of you and Chase both to be like, David, I'm gonna punch you back, and then I got punched back a few times.
Agree or disagree? Do you know why we get to that point?
Because I shouldn't be hitting y'all.
No, it's because of something that you're doing. That leads you to hitting, and what is that?
I don't know. Talking shit?
No. Getting too drunk. Getting too hyped up. Every time you get too hyped up.
It's usually hype.
Hyped up. You get excited, and you want to grab people, and you want to pull people, and you want to punch people. And that's where we were like,
draw the line.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So?
Yeah.
As long as you can edit this, we'll be at now.
We're good.
We're good now? High five!
Yeah.
So was it good or no good?
No, I'm going to cut some of that. But
yeah, obviously. Yeah, I mean, you got good stuff that we can add in here. I just like my, like, into the role.
I like that.
Well, they tell you, they tell you to pick three things. John Cena, championship belt on January the 1st. Three things. You got 1 minute.
Who, what, and where?
1 minute. Go. Word. That's why I was like, John Cena, I got that. Give me a chance, motherfucker.
So where are we going tonight?
I have my phone right here, and where ever you would like.
The Highlands.
The Highlands.
And Louisville.
We're going to O'Shea is what we're going to do.
There's a district of bars up here in Louisville.
We'll go to O'Shea.
You can't say Louisville. That's wrong.
You can, but
it's Louisville. It's like 1.5 syllables. It's not three. It's not really even two. It's about 1.5. Louisville.
So how do you think we do with our podcast?
I think it's still going great.
I was just checking my phone. We are being responsible tonight. Both of us are getting in a Lyft. We're getting a Lyft.
Truly. Taking a Lyft.
Hey, so when do we get to do a vulgar podcast?
Next time. My friend.
Next time. Stay tuned. Holy shit.
Tiempo. Alright.
Cool.
Well, thank y'all for tuning in. Where can everybody find you online, man?
Vascular_Vassar. That is my Instagram name. On Facebook, Vance Vassar.
There we go. Thank y'all for tuning in. Love.
Until next time. See y'all later.
Hasta luego.
Bye.